Howdy, friends, and welcome into the Gridiron Frogs podcast as part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, Justin Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth. I'm a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, the voice of KillerFrogs.com. This is episode 22 of our show covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. Today is Monday, the 11th of November at the time of this recording. And JD, is there a veteran you would like to thank today?
One of my fraternity brothers was a Purple Heart recipient as an Army Ranger and took a bullet to the knee. Brandon Abbott, he's actually a Dallas native. Really good friend of mine, and thank you for your service.
Nice tribute. I'd like to give a shout out to my buddy Carter, who's still active currently in Germany in the Army right now. And my buddy Danny, who is a retired Marine now in Montana, thank you both for your service. I've got a bunch of relatives too that I can thank, but I'm not that close to them. Just kidding. Love you, Uncle Nick. Thanks for your service. There was football this weekend, JD, and we got a result that I feel like we've been waiting a long time for. And yet, I still feel disappointed. I don't feel the satisfaction of a win like this. Why?
Every week I do my weekly What Did We Learn article, and I even touched on it, put it in there under the bad. It was the only thing bad about this game. There was a lot of good, very cut and dry game, but the one bad was that I left this game feeling so much more frustrated about how the season has gone than anything else. We've talked about it every week, Nolan, that this team needs to play a complete game. And we finally had it happen, and we saw how great they were. And it became so much more frustrating because now, when you look at the season, every single team that is below TCU on the Big 12 standing is on TCU's schedule. There is not a single team that is better than TCU standing wise right now at this moment that is on TCU's schedule. They don't play BYU. They don't play Kansas State. They don't play Colorado. There is no one above them on their schedule. And it just hurts so much more to be able to see that this is the team that we thought was going to be there. This is the defense that we thought would be there at the beginning of the season. The offense was playing lights out. And I felt bad because I've talked about that. I just want to see it happen. I want to see it. And then I saw it happen and it made me sour. So yeah, maybe it's a little greedy. Maybe I should just take the win and be happy. But I can't because that's not who I am. I'm just now going to look back and be like, man, had we not blown that lead to UCF, had we closed out the game against Baylor, had we not had whatever happened against Houston happen, we should be in control of our own destiny right now. We should be a 9-1 team with our only loss to a top 15 ranked SMU probably be a top 25 team ourselves right now. Be in the argument for the college football playoff. Maybe I'd see a Bud Elliott graphic with TCU on the Big 12 championship side. Now, am I saying that TCU is a playoff team with how they've played? No. But had they played the week this weekend how they have all season, then yeah, absolutely they would.
How much did it kill you for that, for you to make that SMU comment just now?
I have this nice, sweet fantasy of mine that SMU is going to end up making the playoffs and going to get completely embarrassed. Now, if SMU makes the playoffs and then wins a game, I might go into hiding, but we'll talk about that whenever it happens.
Oh, it sounds like you're admitting it is going to happen.
I think it is.
Okay, then. Josh Hoover, 26 to 35 for 286 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Bailey, the leading rusher for with one carry for 59 yards and a touchdown. Go ahead.
Which, we're going to talk about some controversial calls later about other teams, but there was a holding on this play by our own quarterback, Josh Hoover, that I have, in God's name, I have no idea how, and everyone else in the press box will agree, we have no idea how that crew picked up that flag. It was the most blatant holding I've ever seen in my entire life. And they threw the flag and then decided to pick it up. Made no sense to me, but I will take it.
All right. As you mentioned, we that's a little foreshadowing. We have other calls we're going to get to that happened this past weekend. Cam Cook, 7 for 7 carries, 47 yards and a pair of scores. Savion had 5 carries for 19 and a score. Trent Battle got a few carries. Really spread the ball around, running the ball and then also receiving. JP Richardson, 7 receptions, 100 yards. Jack Besh, 5 for 59. Savion, 7 for 52 and a touchdown. Eric McAllister, 3 for 41. Still think we need to give him the ball more. I mean, this was a field day for the offense, it looks like on paper.
Not the tight ends. Anyways, I digress. They had a good game. I won't go into it, but I mean, there's an omit from the receiving. Like Drake Dabney's, not even on here.
Yeah. That's pretty sad, especially with how you and I have really stressed tight end play all season long. Well, okay, so I'll say this real quick. So 25 carries, 121 yards, and a touchdown for Ollie Gordon. Did it feel like I was at a wedding? I unfortunately missed a lot of football action this week. Did it look like he was kind of Ollie Gordon? Because these numbers aren't bad. Did he look like himself, or did he look like he was still slowed down a step?
No, he looked so like you look at his average at a 4.8, and most of the time you're like, oh, he probably had like 125 plus yard carry and then a few 1 yard carries. No, it was like literally Ollie Gordon was averaging 4 yards a carry and looked good. He had one fumble that TCU stripped out of his arms and in the second quarter whenever Oklahoma State was driving, and it kind of changed the momentum of the game, which is what kind of let it get carried away. But I mean, Ollie didn't look bad. Like he looked like didn't look like last year's Ollie, but also didn't look like first half of the season Ollie, where he was not able to get anything going. It is kind of cool being able to watch him run just because he is a special talent. So being able to see what he can do was pretty cool to watch in person.
How excited are you of the fact, and I'm saying this to segue into something I know you're going to say. How excited are you the fact that we just got to a bowl game?
I really, I'm kind of having these thoughts on what bowl game I want TC to go to. Because, like, I kind of want them to play in the Armed Forces Bowl. Like, play another game at the Carter, see
I
what
hate that.
happens.
I hate home field advantage in bowl games. That is my biggest pet peeve that Hawaii gets to play in the Hawaii Bowl every damn year.
But I've seen some, projections, including one on our website, right, Tanner, where he has TCU playing Army. And, like, that'd be a cool game. I am really excited for what the bowl game will be able to allow us to do, especially be able to get some reps to underclassmen, including the likes of Ryan Hughes at left tackle, who got a series in this week during the game, who looked really good. So I think it'll be really nice to see what the team will be able to do, given a few extra weeks of practice that they didn't get last year, which may have hurt a little bit. I don't know. I feel like bowl games to me have kind of lost their luster with all the sit outs. So it's not so much about being able to watch them as it is. I'm sure it's great being on the team, being able to travel and go somewhere with all your friends, like JP said after the game.
Yeah, I don't disagree, and we can talk about that in one of our in between season and between bowl season podcasts about how bowl games have, because I have a lot of thoughts about bowl season and what has happened with the postseason in college football. I can go on for hours about it, but now I'm thinking about what is our lowest bowl game that we have in the Big 12.
Probably the Independence Bowl in
Yeah,
Alabama.
but isn't there something that we something happened because wasn't that a Pac-12 game and like we have to give that up this year?
No, it has to be if any of the Pac-12 teams are available to be in it, they will be the first ones that have to go.
And that is the case this year, actually.
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what's happening.
But at this point, that might be. What, Arizona State and Colorado? I mean,
So
Colorado might be in the playoffs, so.
we've got the The website just says Rate Bowl, but I know it's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix. So we'll get a repeat of the old Cheez-It Bowl against Cal from a few years ago.
Stop.
That is that.
I just got flashbacks.
That's the day after Christmas at 4:30.
That is my Christmas.
There is the Armed Forces Bowl, which will be Friday after Christmas on the 27th. The Pop-Tart Bowl, that's a possibility.
God,
I mean, look
please.
at this. With our remaining schedule, if we pull out these next two wins and we go 8-4, there's not an outside chance that we end up in Orlando at the Pop-Tarts Bowl or possibly even the Alamo Bowl, I would say.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know. TC's projected to go 1-1 in the rest of their games. So,
Cincinnati and Arizona, correct? Yeah.
yeah, Cincinnati, they're
So
not favorited. But in Arizona, they're like 80% favorites already.
the fact that we lose the bowl game, the Pac-12 Legacy Pool bowl games, which includes the Independence Bowl and the Holiday Bowl, I mean, it's not, we might end up in the Alamo Bowl and against one of these other four, one of these now conference opponents as well. There's a good chance we end up getting Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. If we beat Arizona and possibly even Cincinnati, there's a chance we get Colorado in the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, I don't like that. Give me a Pinstripe Bowl or a Fenway Bowl.
We don't have those bowl games.
I know, but I want one. So I
We have the
think
first
conference tie-ins are awful.
we have the first responder bowl. You want us to go back to SMU?
Stop it. Stop it. You found too much joy in me saying something about them earlier, and now you're trying to run with it. Anyways, no
Oh,
one's gonna have a
I would
laughing
be
fit.
so happy. I'd be so happy if we got the first responder bowl and you and I got credentialed and we had to go back to SMU for our bowl game.
I don't want to
Oh
go
my
back to
gosh.
SMU ever in my life. I'm glad we don't ever have to.
Well,
Anyways,
especially with the bad things I've said about the neighborhood of Highland Park, and I've said it publicly. I'm not sure I'm welcome there anymore.
you were asking that, and I know you were trying to set up a segue, and I didn't really include it because I wanted you to give some feedback before we include it. Was after the game, Sonny Dykes was asked about being bowl eligible, and he made the comments that, and I'm going to tell you his full comments, but how it was phrased on X slash Twitter, whatever you want to call it. How it was phrased was that we said, myself included on my personal account, that Sonny Dykes said that it's a big goal for to be able to make a bowl game, and that's what he wanted his team to do. And his full quote was that because of the up and down roller coasters and the slingshots of seasons that TCU has, which is very true, during the Gary Patterson era, it was a 10-win season followed by a 4-win season, about followed by a 6, followed by a 7, maybe a 5. And there was no consistency on being at a bowl game. And that's what he wants to do, is set this consistency for the program to be that 6 wins is your minimum. You are making a bowl game every year. What you do after that is just icing on top of the cake. Because if you don't know, if you don't make a bowl game, you do not get the extra however many weeks of practice until your bowl game. Every other team has to call their season quits after the last game. If you make a bowl game, you are allowed to practice. What that means, and I know I just made a comment about the opt-outs, is that now you can, if you've got seniors in positions, they're probably going to play in the bowl game because it's their last time to ever probably play. But you can also get these young guys 4 dedicated weeks of practices that they haven't been able to see all season because you're working with your starters. It is huge for a program to be able to get a step up on the next season, especially if you are where TCU could be in a really, really good spot for the 2025 football season based off the talent that is on the field.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's a big bonus, getting that extra practice time. And even with the opt-outs, and like I said, we can talk about this here in the next, what, 4 weeks is when we can talk more about bowl games and bowl season and where it stands in college. But I totally agree with you, and that's a good thing. I mean, just imagine what it'd be like for I mean, I know Hoss Haney's officially redshirted. What it's like for him to get these practice reps. What it's like for Hoover just to get a little bit extra practice time, assuming he'll be coming back. JoJo Earl still has 1 year of eligibility. If he can get his act together and come back for one more good year, stuff like that. That is a big deal. Also, there's money involved in bowl games, folks. There's a significant not. Not super significant, but a significant amount of money that comes in whenever you're bowl eligible. And the bigger the bowl game or the bigger the bowl game sponsor it is, the more money you're going to get. For example, we brought up the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Might not be the most prestigious bowl game, but I know Pop-Tarts puts a lot of money into that game.
And they have an edible mascot.
They do have an edible mascot. Now I want Pop-Tarts. But no, I completely agree, and I'm happy we're in a bowl game. And frankly, I don't care where it is. I will try to go. Hopefully, it's closer because I don't want to spend a bunch of money. But yeah, for sure. I love that mentality of just 6 wins is your minimum, and then you build on that because I'm going to quote my old high school coach Tim Buchanan. His goal when he first took the job at my alma mater was, we're gonna one of the goals every season is we're gonna get one round further every single year until we're state champions, and that's what we did. And that's a great goal to have. You 6 wins is your minimum, and then if I'm Sonny Dykes, I'm saying next year it's 7, next year it's 8. So JD's distracted. He's not
No,
giving me much.
I'm trying to find it. I was gonna bring up the there
Live
I
research being done here on the Killer
yeah, I was
Frogs
trying to find
podcast.
out if the bowl game revenue is part of the sh revenue sharing that will be happening next season, because I couldn't remember if it was or not. Because there's revenue sharing that they're doing with students, with the student athletes, correct? I didn't know
I believe so, yeah.
if bowl game money was directly reported to football, or if out was working. I was trying to find that, because that would have been another big point for bowl game once revenue sharing is there. Like
Right.
that would be money that could be directly refed straight to the players, right? Instead of going to the school as a whole, that it would just makes that much of a difference. That if you're a school who's just not consistently in a bowl game and you get these players that are caring about the NIL money, that could be something that also sways them.
Let's move from one press conference to another because there were comments made by an administrator from a Big 12 school. And after we tackle this, we'll recap the rest of the Big 12 scoreboard from the weekend. But Utah lost. And very controversial call. And the athletic director at Utah had some comments after the fact that directly attacked the conference. Mark Harlan is his name, and he's been fined $40,000 since these post-game comments, criticizing the Big 12 officials and basically saying that he wishes they weren't in the conference. JD, what's your take from that? Because I've got thoughts about this.
First of all, it was a pretty bad call. And I say this as BYU's number one hater outside of the state of Utah, that I think Utah got absolutely jabbed on that one and should have ended the game and won the Holy War and beaten the frauds that are also in Utah. But I'll digress for a second to say that you can't say that. You can't get a penalty on the field during the kickoff return because you're still yelling at the referees. You can't be seen on video waving a finger in the face of a referee because you don't like what they called. You are the athletic director of a prestigious school. You have to hold yourself to a higher accountability. And I know, at the end of the day, it's super hard to do because you are a fan as well. Like, that is super tough to do. But it's just bad optics. Everyone already wasn't the biggest fan of Utah's because they came in acting like they were going to own the conference. And they're not even bowl eligible yet. Look, if you don't want to be in the conference, don't be in the conference. I'd take you and I'd keep you in because you're easy basketball wins and you're easy baseball wins. But if you want to leave, go ahead, be our guest. We can find other cupcakes to schedule.
Dang, okay. Going right for the jugular on basketball and baseball. Yeah, I've got similar sentiments. No, I say I'll give you the walking papers now. Don't say that. Don't come into this conference all high and mighty like that. And then you're having a mediocre season that you're frustrated. I get you're frustrated with it, okay? I get it. But You don't get to say that. You don't get to just come in and immediately criticize. BYU adjusted to it. Cincinnati adjusted to it. UCF adjusted to it. You get one bad call and you're going to criticize the conference and its officials and say you wish you were never here. Well, get walking, buddy. Go back and rejoin Oregon State and Washington State and jump back on that sinking ship. That's what I have to say about that one.
Hey, they're rebuilding.
Yeah. By basically just poaching the Mountain West. I guarantee you in 3 years, it's literally just going to be the Mountain West calling themselves the
And Texas
Pac-12
State.
with that is, oh yeah. Oh boy. Yeah, Texas State's going to bite on that, aren't they? But anyway, there are other games as well. Anyway, yeah, Utah, if that's your sentiment, get walking. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I know JD wants the easy basketball and baseball wins, but
Also, Utah was robbed and BYU should have lost because they're absolute fraudulent team. And Jake Retzlaff, Nate, if you're listening, is not a good quarterback. I'm sorry. He's just not good. They're due for a loss, and anyone who compares them to the 2022 TCU team does not know football. 2022 TCU would absolutely embarrass this BYU team.
I wish the listeners could be a part of our text thread so they would know what was said over the weekend that caused you to say that. There were other games going on this weekend in the Big 12. JD, how are you feeling about your Bearcats of Cincinnati?
I may have been a slightly too optimistic, but you know what? Optimism has never hurt anyone except me on occasion. I don't know. I think it's one of those where, like, they were a very one-dimensional offense going forward that I knew would be figured out at some point. And I was hoping to see them make adjustments, and they haven't done it. So it's kind of led them to have a little bit of faltering. But, I mean, I don't know if Cincinnati plays this week. I don't have the schedule right in front of me off my bat, but TCU gets them next. TCU hasn't played them since they've been in the Big 12. Or TCU does not get them next. They get them at the end of the season. So it'll be a nice little good ending game for both teams, I believe. They kind of both struggled. So, yeah.
Cincinnati does have to go to Ames this week before going to Manhattan before hosting TCU.
Maybe they'll be battered and bruised, which I mean, I don't know if going to Ames is a bad thing anymore.
Yeah, well, that was well, no, because that one wasn't in Ames. That was in Kansas City. That brings me on to my next game. Iowa State loses to Kansas. What happened, man? They were on a hot start. Looks like they were poised to go to Arlington. And now the Cyclones are quickly spiraling out of conference contention.
Jalen Daniels, remember that he is a very good quarterback. For the last 2 weeks, it's like something clicked in him, and he was like, wow, this football thing is really nice. And remembered that he's pretty good and remembered how to play. Because up until that point, he had been atrocious. And I said preseason that I wasn't the world's biggest Jalen Daniels fan, but how he's played the last 2 weeks has been lights out and great. And he's looked fantastic doing it. And it's what Kansas needed. It's way too late for it to happen. Also, Iowa State and BYU both were never really too. I was never high on them. Like, they were just kind of getting away with close wins over and over. They're basically their first half of the season is equivalent to 2022 TCU's first half, where you would kind of look at their wins and look at the scoreboard and look at their performance and be like, are they good or are they just undefeated? And there's two very big differences.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I just spent 5 hours filling out my high school football playoff brackets, and there were a lot of undefeated teams here that I'm just like, are you undefeated or are you good? There's a difference. There are a couple undefeated teams I don't have getting out of the first round, but that's a story for a different
That's how I
podcast.
feel about BYU.
But yeah, but that's a real thing in football. So that's yeah. So Iowa State's now lost two in a row. Colorado goes to Lubbock. Tech gave them a great first half, and then the Buffs just completely ran away with it, 41-27. You want to point
Wait, what
fingers
was
and
that
laugh at Tech?
score?
41-27,
2-1.
Colorado.
Oh man, I needed that one. Thanks.
You want to point fingers and laugh at the Red Raiders? Tell me why.
Again, you believe in them and they let you down. You don't believe in them and they pull it off. What happens? They upset Iowa State, who isn't good. And then you get Colorado coming to town and everyone's like, oh, text back. Text back. Joey McGuire, he figured it out. He's the world's greatest coach. Kirby Smart who? And then he just forgets to coach football again. It's incredible. He does it week in, week out. Also, shout out to Colorado, man. I know I was a hater, but it's just fun watching them play football right
Was.
now. I'm enjoying it. I'm not as much a hater anymore as much as I am a denier.
Okay, fair enough.
It's not that I don't want to see them succeed at this point. It's just I don't know if they still will be able to succeed. I feel like at some point it's going to implode, but until that point, they've been phenomenal. Shedeur Sanders has quietly he just gives you 300 yards and a few touchdowns with no problems. Travis Hunter should finish second in the Heisman race. I mean, he's so good. And Dion's put a heck of a staff together and got some real good guys in. There's some rumblings that he's about to get a really, really big quarterback recruit commit. So maybe Dion's for real.
All right, well, we'll see. And finally, UCF jumps about three time zones over and falls to the Sun Devils of Arizona State, 35-31. Our loss to UCF is not aging well.
UCF, the last 3 weeks, Gus Malzahn has committed coaching malpractice that would make Kim Jong-un look like he's never committed a wrong thing in his life. It's insane how he keeps getting away with it.
The North Koreans are coming after you for that one.
They won't be able to watch this. This isn't government regulated.
Don't have internet.
Yeah, it's like Gus Malzahn could go over there and they'd still think he's a bad person for what he's done to UCF the last 3 weeks. It has been atrocious of watching him coach a football game.
Be fair, they think we're all bad people over here.
Yeah, let me introduce Gus Malzahn and Kent State's athletic director, okay?
Oh
Show
gosh.
you some bad people.
And then finally the BYU Utah thing. Look, like it or not, we've got 3 more weeks of regular season before the conference championship. BYU's in it. JD, who's their opponent?
I don't know what bowl game are they going to go to when they lose their next 3 games. I don't know. Probably Colorado.
You
I mean,
think it's going to be
Colorado
the.
controls their own destiny. Will you look at the schedule? Does Colorado still have to play BYU?
I'm looking at it right now. Colorado has Utah this week. They're at Kansas on Thanksgiving weekend. I'm sorry, the weekend before Thanksgiving, I should say. Forgive me. I keep forgetting what day Thanksgiving is this year. They are off. No, I'm sorry. They play Oklahoma State at home on Black Friday and then the conference championship. So they do not have to play BYU. And BYU has home against Kansas this week at Arizona State the week before Thanksgiving. And then Thanksgiving weekend, they are home against Houston. Oh, and that's the one that we were joking about a couple of shows ago. That it's Houston that plays spoiler and ends up
They've been giant slayers this year.
They have been.
It
They
would
have been.
be. I really hope Colorado plays BYU in the Big 12 championship because I think BYU would get blown out.
Well, we still get credentialed for that.
I wouldn't go.
I would gladly go.
Unless I could throw stuff at Jake Ratzlaff.
Yeah, you're not getting credentialed. One last comment before we close out. Man, Kirk Herbstreit is a pro, dude. I cannot with what went on this past week for him. I got to give him a shout out and for his dog Ben. May Ben run around in that dog park in the sky. But man, Kirk is a pro doing Thursday night football the day of And then going back and doing a full game day show in which there was a 2-minute tribute, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, watching Lee Corso comfort him was enough to bring a man to tears. Nolan, I have a question before we go.
Go ahead.
Do you think that if a quarterback is in their sixth or seventh year of college football, or any player is in their sixth or seventh year of college football, that maybe it's a sign you're just not that good?
You know, it's funny because when I was at the wedding that I was talking about, just saying we were talking about that at the reception, about these 6, 7, 8 year college football players. Who was the quarterback for North Texas a few years ago that was 30? Onnie, Austin Onnie. 30. He was 30 years old playing with a bunch of 19, 20-year-olds. Like, oh, yeah, I think they know they're not that good. I think that's why they're still trying to play college football, because they know their career is over and they don't want it to be over.
At least now, maybe you're getting a sweet NIL deal. What were you doing 10 years ago? Not getting paid anything to just be like, you're at a 10, you're at a 15-year high school reunion. They're like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I got a game against North Texas. It's like, brother, what?
Oh,
Anyways,
I
with
can
that
so picture that
said,
happening.
Alan Bowman and Cam Rising.
Some people love football that much, JD. They really do. I just spent 5 hours filling out my brackets for high school football. Some people just love football that much. I'm not getting a bonus for this.
I mean, I just don't get it. Like, Alan Bowman was playing before they even had leather on the ball. Like, and he had a
Okay,
piss poor 19 for 29
you realize
performance
you're
this
calling
weekend.
both of us ancient at the same time, because I played against him in high school.
Yeah, but that's different. We talk about what
You're
they
calling
do. He's
us
still
old.
playing. Like, and also, another thing, if we're gonna go that same age comparison rate, I wake up every day and my back hurts. How does he not wake up and dislodge
Okay,
something?
look, now we're getting depressing. We are going into a completely different. I'm cutting you off. You're done. You are done. Frog fans, that does it for the 22nd episode of Gridiron Frogs Podcast as a part of TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, however you find your podcast. We'll see you next week, or probably later this week with a no, we're on a bye.
Yeah,
So
we'll see you next week.
no show. We'll see you next week with another great show. And until then, for my partner JD Andres and everyone at killerfrogs.com, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody. We love you, Ben.
For the love of God, BYU, please lose.